The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Good to be with you. This is some interesting economic news that broke yesterday. So we don't get our official GDP, gross domestic product number, until July 28th for the second quarter. But the Atlanta Fed has a measurement that they use called GDP Now. And this tracks economic data in real time, as CNBC reports, and adjusts continuously. And as of yesterday, which would be the first day of the third quarter of 2022, we were looking at a second quarter output contracting, negative GDP growth of 2.1%. Coupled with the first quarter's decline of 1.6%, that would fit the technical definition of recession. A few weeks ago, if not a few months ago, a couple months ago, I offered my expectation that we would find ourselves officially in recession once the second quarter GDP numbers came out, at least using that statistic of GDP. And that looks to be what is going to happen. Nicholas Colas, co-founder of Data Trek Research, said, quote, GDP Now has a strong track record, and the closer we get to July 28th's release of the initial Q2 GDP estimate, the more accurate it becomes. Let's say that we are unofficially in day two of the Biden recession, although really, when you're in the middle of those first two quarters of negative economic growth, you were in recession, at least in the second quarter. That's neither here nor there. That's not good going into re-election. But fortunately for the American people, the economy got a little bit of a boost from the Supreme Court, as we were talking about in the last hour, on Thursday, issuing its decision in the case of West Virginia v. EPA, dealing with regulating greenhouse gas emissions from power plants and more. And this is a very important decision. We talked about it a little bit in the last hour. Before we shift gears from that, I want to welcome to the program Mario Loyola, who is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and previously worked in the White House as Associate Director for Regulatory Reform at the Council on Environmental Quality. And he joins us now to discuss. Good morning, Mario. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Great to be with you. I was born in Colorado Springs, by the way.
Beautiful. There we go. We have a Colorado native. I moved to Colorado when I was 10, so I am not able to claim native status, but I guess I've lived here a lot longer than you have. So that's got to count for something, I guess. But hey, Mario, this Thursday news, I thought this was a tremendous decision. How would you summarize what the Supreme Court decided? And then we'll get to its implications.
Well, it is a tremendous decision. You're very right about that. And it has implications far beyond Environmental Protection Agency and the Clean Air Act and even the issue of the huge issue of climate change. But basically what's happened here is that the Clean Air Act is a very complicated, sweeping law. People who've lived in Denver for a long time know that Denver's not in non-attainment of the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. Sometimes you have restrictions on your fireplaces and stuff. So it's a very sweeping law, and it has a lot of different programs for hazardous air pollution and ambient air pollution. But it doesn't have a program for carbon dioxide and climate change, right? And so what EPA did here was it just tried to find a provision that nobody had ever really noticed before that's only been used for solid waste incinerators. And it tried to change the definition of the technology standard, best systems of emissions reduction, that had been used for that particular category of pollution, right? So solid waste incinerators and similar things like that. And it said, okay, best system of emissions reduction is actually not some technology at the plant. It could be the entire society. And then it came up with this very sweet, very dangerous plan in 2015 under the Obama administration called the Clean Power Plan. And the thing was full of statutory and constitutional problems. The courts could have struck it down on 15 different reasons. And so the Supreme Court blocked the rule in 2016, and then the Trump administration came in and replaced it with a different rule. So all of this ended up getting to this, but then that rule got thrown out by the D.C. Circuit. All this ends up in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, Environmental Protection Agency, you can't just make up whatever you want about the statute. Congress obviously never intended for you to use this authority in this way. And we're not just going to keep rubber stamping every, you know, huge expansion in your authority that you come up with by a reading of the statute that Congress never intended. And so it's basically, you know, one of the first times that the Supreme Court has stood right in the path of the growth of the administrative leviathan and said stop.
Yeah, well, and this has significant implications, Mario Loyola, because not only is it saying you're going too far in terms of interpreting this statute, you don't have the authority, but I would surmise that it sends a message for other regulatory agencies that, wait a second, you might not get away. The next time that this comes, something comes before the court for your agency, if it's not specifically authorized in the statute that you're citing, we're not going to let you create it out of whole cloth. We're going to shut it down and make it upon Congress, the burden of Congress, to change the law if they want to do what you are trying to attempt through administration.
Right. And I'll note also that Congress already, when the Democrats had a once in a century supermajority in Congress, which was in the first 2 years of Obama's presidency, they tried to get a law like this through Congress, which was the Waxman-Markey bill, cap and trade.
Right.
And they failed to do it then. And they will not have that majority again until the 23rd, until it's Buck Rogers in the 23rd century.
Well, so, well, hey, let me just underscore for folks why that's so important, because here you have the administrative state, the federal bureaucracy saying Congress didn't pass what we want to do, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's not a small matter, Mario.
Exactly. And, you know, for a long time, courts have talked themselves into this thing called deference to agency interpretations of law,
right?
Which is so crazy, because it's exactly like a judge saying, well, I don't know what the hell murder means. I'll just agree with whatever the prosecution's saying it means. And basically it's just a way for courts to abdicate their responsibility over interpreting the law and just hand it over to the federal government, to the federal agency. And so what's happened here is that the courts have reversed that, and they've said, no, if it's a major, if it's something that really impacts the economy or infringes on state, on the constitutional prerogatives of the states, we're going to look with great skepticism at any claims of expanded authority that agencies might come along with. And so now, instead of deferring to agency interpretations of law, the federal courts are now under instructions from the Supreme Court to be very skeptical of those expanding claims of power on the part of federal agencies. And so I think we've reached the high water. I mean, the significance of this is really huge, because whatever they agree to do in the climate, in the Paris Agreement for climate change or whatever, we've reached the high, we've demonstrated that the United States cannot comply with its commitments under the Paris Agreement on climate change. And it can't comply because it can't build the renewables you've got all around you right now in the West. They're talking about transitioning from coal to solar and wind power. They can't get the Bureau of Land Management in Nevada is facing 20 permit applications from solar plants and they're totally overwhelmed with two permit applications. Right? So none of these solar projects, not even a tenth of the solar projects that you're looking at, can get the permits that they need under the system of red tape that we have. And so between that and the fact that they're not going to be able to manipulate the Clean Air Act into passing a sweeping, you know, Soviet-style central planning of electricity in the United States, which is the idea of the Clean Power Plan, they're not going to be able to do that. And, you know, it'll be 100 years before they have the majority, that almost passed Waxman-Markey. So all of these different avenues are getting shut down. And you know, and the thing is that they haven't really made the case. I mean, they're all convinced that, you know, it's a real disaster if the ocean level, but it's the, I live in Surfside, Florida, two blocks from the beach. And the example I like to give people is, you know, my house is going to get flooded. The fact that my house is going to get flooded is no reason for people in Colorado to start driving electric vehicles. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Mario, let me just underscore this point that whenever you are trying to pass legislation through Congress, you have to actually go make the pitch to the American people to elect you based upon that kind of agenda or to give a majority so that, say, the Democrats can pass this through legislatively. And if you can't make that case, then the only alternative, at least in the mind of the left, is to use the regulatory state. Well, now the Supreme Court has said, wait, not so fast, whether it's to comply with the Paris Agreement that you want or anything else. You can't simply do this top down by creating from whole cloth your own notion of what power you should have. Instead, you have to do it through Congress. I would think that that's something that really is going to revolutionize how they conduct both environmental policy and other aspects of the overall administrative state, but also I think it should put more of a spotlight on things that they can actually do. Like when you're talking about 15 solar panels in Nevada solar permits that aren't able to get through all the red tape, that's what you should be focusing on, is how do you diminish the regulation that is making it so difficult to advance the green energy economy.
Bingo. You got it. That's exactly what we were trying to do in the Trump administration, in the Trump White House. In fact, the regulatory reforms that we were doing in the Trump White House, the major beneficiaries of those reforms when it comes to permits and environmental reviews was renewable energy projects, who are oil and gas projects don't need as many federal permits as renewable energy projects. Almost all of those projects, because they're on federal land, they need federal permits. And so the main beneficiaries of what we were trying to do was renewable energy. And then the Biden administration comes in and rolls back the reforms. I mean, it's incredible. They just shoot themselves in the foot left and right. We were trying to help them, but because it was Trump and they hate everything that's Trump, they rolled back, a significant part of the reform.
Is there a mindset issue, though? Again, we're talking with Mario Loyola, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. A mindset problem where they have a block where it says, top down, we can tell companies, we can tell the private sector to do this, but they don't realize that red tape gets in the way of doing it. Instead, they just think, let's just give the order, and that's it.
Yeah. And it's the red tape that they have made,
right,
that they themselves have made over 50 years, right? And the red tape, by the way, part of the red tape is they have bent over backwards with their allies in the federal judiciary. The environmental groups have bent over backwards to make sure that any local opposition is able to stop a project. And so now you've got a system where, you know, voice and public participation and all that means that any project can be stopped by even a little bit of local opposition. Mm-hmm. And just to put things in perspective, if you want to transition from coal power to renewable sources of energy, you would need, across the country, you would need 1,500 or 2,000 utility-scale solar projects. Each of these things, I don't know if you've ever been one, but these things are 10,000 acres. Okay, they're a couple hundred, football fields, each of them. Okay, if you were to build 2,000 utility scale solar projects of 10,000 acres each, that's an area twice the size of New Jersey, covered with solar panels. And every inch of that expansion is going to draw opposition from the very environmental groups that are now saying that we need to save the planet from climate change. So I think, you take a step back, climate change is a problem. It certainly is for me, because we have more flooding in Miami Beach than we had 10 years ago and 20 years ago. So it's not like I'm denying that it's a problem. But the solution to flooding in Miami Beach is not to reorder the world society to make it more socialistic.
Right.
It's to do something about the flooding in Miami Beach. And, you know, I just want to point out, like I tell other people, climate change, rising sea levels might be a problem, other things might, but in every generation, and for the past thousands of years, people always think that the world's about to end. And for some funny reason, the only way to prevent it is to create worldwide socialism.
Right.
And whether the excuse is climate change or the population bomb or King Coal in the 19th century, it's always sort of the same story. And they even recycle the same renewable energy standards and stuff from the last doomsday fad.
Every time, crisis after crisis after crisis that they generate with the same arguments. Here's the reality that human beings have done for millennia, and that is adapt. That's the number one thing.
Exactly.
The number one thing is to adapt. Mario Loyola, we got to leave it there. Senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Let's have you back for sure. Great conversation. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Don't you just love the contradiction and the hypocrisy here as they try to advance their agenda, the Green New Steel? 303-696-1971. What are your thoughts on this July 2nd morning? I'll also give some takeaways from Tuesday's Republican primaries. Keep it right here. It's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, a News Talk, 710 KNUS. Ah, the great Buddy Guy doing that classic blues tune, Trouble No More, as we return the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk, 710 KNUS. Great to be with you this morning. We'll get to some texts in a bit. 303-696-1971. Our telephone number, Trouble No More. It is possible. Nay, it is plausible. Nay, it is likely that some of these Democrats in power in Colorado will be troubling us no more after that first Tuesday of November. And I say that because I am deeply encouraged by the results of the Republican primary this past Tuesday. We have a chance, a real shot, because we've got a sanity slate that is focused on the issues that are before us today, not on going back to 2020, for example. Not on getting bogged down in discussions of things that are past and done. Not on getting bogged down with legal battles and fighting in court. We have candidates that will focus on the issues before the people of Colorado and the United States of America right now. Crime. Bidenflation. The educational suffering that we're seeing. Did you see what happened in Arizona and their incredible new law that Governor Ducey signed this week? Advancing, I think it's the most sweeping school choice legislation ever, allowing a voucher, mass voucher program. It's considerable. It's a winning issue for Republicans. School choice, educational opportunity. What's happening in our schools, curriculum transparency, focusing on the basics, making sure the kids are getting a quality education instead of consistently being failed by educational bureaucrats and those focused on political agendas as opposed to addressing the facts that kids are way behind academically, way behind. I think it's only 5% of black and brown students in Denver public schools are proficient at reading. That's unacceptable. That's the school district focused on equity, ladies and gentlemen. We want to address equity. And yet they expand inequity in a district like DPS also gets bogged down in the personality politics of the likes of Tay Anderson. But education is a winning issue. You look at the border crisis, especially the flood of fentanyl that exacerbates the crime spree that we're seeing in Colorado. We've got foreign policy crisis after foreign policy crisis. We have an energy crisis of Biden's own making. Oh, he's blaming Putin's price hike? Of course, he did so again just yesterday. But that's what it is. He only puts out blame. He doesn't accept it at all himself.
Ultimately, the reason why gas prices are up is because of Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. The reason why the food crisis exists is because of Russia. Russia not allowing grain to get out of Ukraine.
Meanwhile, the Interior Department is restricting offshore oil leases, as we talked about in the last hour. He won't take responsibility for it. We have seen in our state the Green Little Deal by Polis. So you have all these issues that are going on, and now I think we have a shot with a ticket that is focused on those issues and won't be pressed in the same way on other stuff. And that is important, in my view, to addressing the needs and concerns of Americans. Do you agree or disagree? 303-696-1971. We talked about this on Thursday when I filled in for George. There's the hump that maybe you're not over when it comes to voting for Heidi Gnall, Joe O'Day, Pam Anderson. Are you resisting that vote? We were just talking about the Supreme Court. We were just talking about how on the regulatory side, the Supreme Court has dealt a stunning blow to the administrative state. And that's only because we have a conservative majority that was 6-3 looking at the Constitution, the rule of law, and what laws actually say in statute. That's huge. And that is simply because we had Donald J. Trump as president bringing forward Neil Gorsuch, Colorado's own, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. They only made it onto the bench because Trump was president and had a Republican Senate and a Republican majority leader, yes, in Mitch McConnell, who was adamant about those appointments, and they worked hand in glove to make it happen. You think about Brett Kavanaugh. Any other president, any other majority leader would have given up on Kavanaugh and said, I'm not worrying about this, or I'm not going to worry about this any longer. We're going to go with somebody else. But they said, no, this is BS. And we're going to march ahead with this nomination. And that's exactly what we need to do. At every point when we have these kinds of nominations, because it's crucial. So with Joe O'Day, for example, U.S. Senate candidate, who, by the way, won by 9 percentage points over Ron Hanks on Tuesday. You have the prospect at another vote in the United States Senate. Listen to what Elizabeth Warren said is their goal if they just pick up two new senators.
Two senators. If we pick up two Democratic senators who will help us get rid of the filibuster, which the president has now said he's on board for that, and who will give us Roe versus Wade. Two senators, and yes, John Fetterman, I am looking at you in Pennsylvania. Yes, Mandela Barnes, I'm looking at you in Wisconsin.
Let's be clear. When she says give us Roe versus Wade, they don't mean actually just codifying Roe. The left means they want to ram through an extreme abortion law like the one they put forward, claiming it was codifying Roe, but went well beyond that. And it failed, of course, in Congress. It failed in Congress. And so they want to eliminate the filibuster to make that happen, which I'm sure Joe O'Day believes is a dangerous precedent to set and would be deeply troubling in terms of its implications. But there you have Elizabeth Warren specifically saying, no, we need to have the two more Democrat senators. if we can win Colorado, we can deny them, and they need to pick up three. Isn't that what we want to achieve? 303-696-1971. What's holding you back in that regard? I mean, listen to the likes of AOC on this.
I believe that the president should come out in favor, forcefully in favor of expanding the Supreme Court. I believe that the president should forcefully come out in favor of abolishing the Senate filibuster. Those two actions dramatically increase political pressure and makes it much harder to resist.
Makes it much harder to resist. Those words, listen to the left and what they are telling us they want to do. Expand the Supreme Court, make it harder to resist. How do you prevent that from happening? Well, the biggest way to prevent it from happening is to have Republican senators who put up that wall and say, no, we're not doing this. That's extreme. This is what they really want to achieve. Listen to AOC here.
We need to be working on repealing the Hyde Amendment in Congress right now. I am proud to say that we have successfully started to take the steps to repeal the Hyde Amendment. And with the Hyde Amendment, repealing the Hyde Amendment will allow the federal government to invest in access to reproductive care in any place that has federal jurisdiction, including places with federal jurisdiction in red states. I have brought up, for example, the prospects of increasing abortion access on federal lands in red states.
What she wants to do is repeal the Hyde Amendment, which prevents public funding of abortion. She wants abortion clinics on federal lands. That is really what they are after. That's what the Democrats want to achieve. It is much more than just codifying Roe versus Wade. It is supplanting this majority on the Supreme Court. It is expanding the Supreme Court. It is getting rid of the filibuster so that they can ram through their extremist agenda. It is bypassing the most extreme abortion law in federal form, not just here in Colorado. It is on and on and on that we go with what they are hoping to achieve if they have greater power. Richard texting in, Jimmy, the reason Pocahontas says two senators is referencing that Kyrsten Sinema says she's not on board with changing the filibuster rule. That's right, Richard. Absolutely. The Democrats have a divide because they don't have the senators that they want in position, that they need to get this through. And if we can stop them or make it more difficult for them to obtain an additional position, an additional seat, by taking one away in Michael Bennett, kicking out boring Bennett, putting in Joe O'Day, that will hamper their agenda here. Because you know, Michael Bennett, he voted for that extreme abortion law. He has no objections to the fact that Colorado has the most extreme abortion laws. And by the way, a text came in, smug right-wingers over abortion. Let's be clear about one thing on that issue. When you look at Colorado and what the pro-life movement most recently proposed in Proposition 115, due date too late a couple years ago, It was so good that the left had to lie about it. The left had to lie about what it actually would do, because it didn't penalize a woman who got an abortion. It didn't throw a doctor in jail. It would have potentially garnered a removal of a doctor's license if they performed an abortion after 22 weeks, which the vast majority of abortions happen before 22 weeks. And this was in step with science, by the way, and what we know about the science of babies. in their development, unborn babies, when they can feel pain, when they have a heartbeat, so on and so forth. And by the way, there were exceptions for life of the mother, rape and incest. Those women who had miscarriages would be protected. You can't get more reasonable than that compared with the extremism of the Democrats. And how radical they were in Colorado and want to be on the federal level. And the only way to stop it is by putting Republicans in office here in Colorado and recognizing the political realities here and working diligently to achieve what we can achieve. And there is, I mean, look, a million people, a million Democrats switched to Republican across the country in the past year. Great opportunity, right? Yes. Great opportunity to persuade, to bring in voters. And if you look at the results in the U.S. Senate primaries, 120,000 or so more Republican ballots were turned in than Democrat ballots. That's not a small matter, and it sends a good signal for this November. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. You're listening to The Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Keep it right here. Lots more coming up. What do you think? What would it take to get you over the hump? Is this not persuasive enough? 303-696-1971. It's News Talk, 710 KNUS. Yes, indeed. It's all in the groove as John Popper of Blues Traveler sings in this song from one of their early albums, Travelers and Thieves. They're performing this coming Monday at Red Rocks for their annual Independence Day, a.k.a. they say 4th of July show. And we're going. My whole family is going to be out there having fun at Red Rocks. This is going to be awesome. We have not done this in a family concert in my memory, certainly at Red Rocks. So this will be a blast on Monday. Blues Traveler is so much fun. Looking forward to it. All right, we are talking here about a few different issues, including what might get you over the hump regarding Joe O'Day. And it's interesting. I got a text that came in. No, Jimmy. I'm sure you won't read this on the air. Hey, I'm reading it. But assuming Joe O'Day wins, the Dems will only need one senator since Joe said he would vote to codify Roe versus Wade in Convenient Truth. Well, let's think about this for a moment, because the reason why I read, well, I'm happy to read it just fine. But I'm particularly apt to read this because I think with respect, you're misunderstanding what the Democrats are trying to do here. This is what Elizabeth Warren said.
Two senators. If we pick up two Democratic senators who will help us get rid of the filibuster, which the president has now said he's on board for that, and who will give us Roe versus Wade, two senators, and yes, John Fetterman, I am looking at you in Pennsylvania. Yes, Mandela Barnes, I'm looking at you in Wisconsin.
So, when the Democrats say codify Roe versus Wade or give us Roe versus Wade, do they actually mean it? Well, in May of this year, they were advancing a bill called the Women's Health Protection Act. They claimed this was just going to codify Roe. But quoting the New Yorker, not a right-wing media outlet, by the way, quote, the bill would have banned nearly all restrictions on abortion, making it the most permissive abortion bill ever to be considered in Congress. And Joe O'Day on this program specifically said he opposed it, that it was too radical. And by the way, that would make it close to being on par with what we have in Colorado with the most extreme abortion law in the country. So don't allow the left to claim that they merely want to codify Roe versus Wade, because that is not true. Moreover, Joe O'Day saying that he would vote for a bill to codify Roe is not the same as not just what the Democrats actually want to do, but it's not the same as getting rid of the filibuster. You still need 60 votes for cloture to end debate in order to actually vote on that bill. Otherwise, you need to eliminate the filibuster. He didn't say anything about the filibuster. I take that as 60 votes for cloture, and then he would vote on a bill that specifically would codify Roe, but that is not the same. And I don't agree with that vote, by the way. I think it should remain a state issue. But that is not the same as what the Dems want to do in real life. They have an extreme agenda on abortion. They are trying to paint the right as extreme when they themselves are extreme. So when I say that Joe O'Dea is better than Michael Bennett on the issue of abortion, it's precisely because he's not talking about the filibuster. He's not talking that he supports the Women's Health Protection Act, exactly the opposite. And when it comes to the Supreme Court, he will vote the right way on the replacement of, eventually, when we see Justice Thomas retire, because it will happen at some point. And he'll vote the right way. We have reasonable doubts of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney, obviously, because they are weak and feckless far too often. But they voted the right way on the Supreme Court nominations of Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. And that's the most important thing in terms of the courts. So I'm just trying to say that there are more complexities here, and having that majority in the Senate is going to be so much better than being in the minority. And if we can help do it and deny the Democrats' ability to overcome Sinema and Manchin, we're in a much better place. A much better place. Last thing I want to do, here's a clip from Good Morning America.
As Americans prep to throw Lady Liberty a birthday party, sticker shock on barbecue costs. New data shows ground beef prices soaring 36%, pork and beans up 33%, and even homemade potato salad up 19%.
Alexa texting in earlier. Remember last year how the Biden admin was so excited to tell us our Independence Day meal was going to cost us 16 cents less than it did in 2020. This year, that same meal cost $10 more for our Independence Day meal. Heaven forbid you have to travel somewhere. That will be lots of Biden's policies suck. Yeah, I think that is so well put. Speaking of the 4th of July. Independence Day is what we call it on this program, proudly, unabashedly, with purpose. You got a kid, grandkid nearby, multiple, bring them. Bring them over to the radio. We're going to be reading the Declaration of Independence at the top of the next hour in full with enthusiasm. Here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Get your patriotism on. Don't go anywhere.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.